easily and quickly. From the sense of being in your physical body to a sense of being in your energy body. Even though there is awareness of the physical, awareness of the energetic now dominates. You know you are just a field of consciousness shaped like a body. You know you're just moving energy. You accept that. Tongue's on the roof of the mouth. And you might try running the orbit, balance out and clear the front and back channels. And turn on your left side. You can also do the microcosmic orbit on both the left and right sides. It can also be very balancing. And just let gravity condense and clear and connect your, in this case, your left channel is touching the ground and your right channel is open to the sky. You can also just experiment with passing a hoop over in this form. This creates a little shift in left and right channels, so when you pass the hoop over, we'll tend to interact with that imbalance and to balance it out. And already start to think of your dream command when you're still enough in the beta. I remember all my dream. Or all my dreams. Think of your gesture already. Raise a finger, wiggle a nose. Turn the eyes to one side or the other. Allow for the possibility you may actually also have a lucid dream. And you'll do that gesture in the dream. You can begin to play with the pendulum. Earth spinning, shift from the left to the right. Prolonging the alpha state. Again, remember the command. I remember all my dreams. The feeling, as a feeling of joy of remembering. And let's shift to the right side. Right position, sleeping tiger. Smile, left and right brain, left heart, right belly. Each of your three brains balance out the left and right hemisphere. Help you stay in the inner eye, the core channel. Swing the pendulum. Aware of the axis of the earth, the axis of your body. Stable consciousness, watching the fluctuations of night and day, left and right, yin and yang. Remember your dream command, issue it as a feeling. I remember all my dreams. And repeat the dream command as you start to go deeper. You shift from beta into alpha, from the physical into the astral body. If you wish to go to a deeper level and you feel experienced enough, give the command, I also awake within my dream. And create your dream gesture. Feel the spiraling, prolong the alpha. Repeat the command, the feeling, from the center. The central axis is where the feeling arises from. Give yourself permission to go into dream state immediately. Have 20 minutes to dream. Allow yourself to go in and dream and then awaken. Either awaken within the dream or remember it. Repeat the dream command as a feeling from the core channel. I remember all my dreams. I awake in my dreams with a gesture, either or both. Now you're on your own for the next 20 minutes.
Hello, hello, hello. All ye dreamers. I forgot to mention that there is a tradition of dream catchers, a Native American tradition, so that I think the origin of it is that so no naughty little creatures would come along, steal babies in the mother's dreams or something. They had to have a dream catcher. It looks like a spider web thing up there. Did any of you catch any dreams in your dream catchers? How many of you think that you dreamed or remembered them? Uh-huh. And those of you who did dream, do you think that you remember them? Does the dream command work? Would anybody like to share their experience? If you're awake enough to speak.
I would realize that I was dreaming. For a split second, I said, this is a dream. And then I don't remember anything. And then it seemed like sometime later I would see a vision of something. I don't remember it though, but I knew that I was dreaming. And it was gone again. And that happened about four or five times. So it did make me feel pretty good though, you know, it was like I'm catching a little something there.
Yeah.
It's a good start.
Yeah, you should feel good. You didn't want to feel bad anyway if you hadn't gotten it, but it's good to feel good. Anybody else? Anything to share and report?
I can't remember exactly, but I do remember a thought that I had that wasn't exactly like, you know, we talked about, but remember the dream and all that, but I remember thinking when I was first down that I was really warm, and then a thought went through my head when we were doing the passing the
hoop. Well, that actually raises an interesting point. It's hard to know, you know, what state you're in. I mean, you know, we're not, it's not important, really. But, you know, it's sort of like the research is, some of the research, I don't know how reliable it is, but it's been reported about multiple personalities and how we can shift to different kind of physical realities depending on who's in charge. This is kind of the same thing. You can be in one reality, in your dream reality, and feeling one way completely, and then come back out to this other self.
I mean, it's very different, because I know in the past that would have taken me longer to come back, but when I heard the bell, it was like instantly. So whatever did happen.
I'm just concerned all of you are going to need this bell now to wake up. I'm going to be selling Tibetan bell alarm clocks.
I woke up just a few seconds before you did the bell. It must be time to get up.
It's your dream bodies are spying out for you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have anything to share?
Well, I woke up before the ringing bell, like long before everybody was sleeping. And I noticed that yesterday, I was in the same position as Led, and I woke up. And again, and I find out that this is not the right time for me to sleep. And I want to try in my back because something wakes me up like I'm uncomfortable in that position.
That's why I'm having you shift at each position.
Yeah.
Until you start to see
well,
what.
It feels comfortable at the beginning, it all feels good, but then after I woke up, I don't know.
It's important to find out what your position is, that really you're going to do this in, because in the long run, you may just go to that position also, and once you find it, okay, that's just it. Anybody else remember their dreams or have lucid dreams? Anybody stay up? I guess we won't know either. But we'll wait around for the next dream round. Maybe you'll catch up with that finger, huh? I think it's possible, you know. In the beginning, especially when you do a dream gesture, it can wake you up. You may have been going into it and the gesture went off, but that's interesting, that, you know, that at least you're getting a response from that level.
When I used my gesture a couple of times, it would snap me out of it. Not all the way in the full state of it, just, I mean, definitely, you know, come out of it, and then I kept skipping right across that line.
You use a gesture not to remember dreams, but just to pull you back into twilight zone?
It just did that. I mean, as soon as it would bring that awareness back to the physical body, you know, when I did that, I twitched my nose.
Well, you know, it may be a useful function then for the dream gesture also, just to prolong, to stay awake in the twilight zone. That's interesting, yeah. Maybe an interesting application of that. And I really looked at that. Good, thank you. Anybody else? Everybody else awake? Are you awake?
Well, I was aware of before when I was kind of sort of simultaneously aware of all the brain states, that there was actually a dream, there was a dream there, and I was still alert. I was awake. I was dreaming, but I couldn't. But I was, as I stayed awake, I couldn't quite see it. So I realized it was almost like, you know, the light turned out on the television or something. I could turn it up and make it brighter or dimmer, the dream. But then when I went into the dream, I remembered the gesture. But after I would do the gesture, I would sort of forget to think of something to do, and then I would go into another dream. So it kept kind of shifting. But the one right at the end, I stayed awake for. And I was just about to think of something to do. Actually, while Blondie came, a rabbit and bit me on the butt. Only it's a very big rabbit. And just as I was trying to think of what I was going to do in response, then rang the bell. I had to come up with anything to do to change the dream.
So maybe that should be your new dream gestures, having the rabbit bite you in the butt. Well, Lala Blondie is quite a trickster. I once was doing a thing where I was trying to get a power animal, you know, which is also related to dreaming. We'll talk about that in just a second. I didn't get any animal. And finally, Laplani showed up, a little rabbit. I said, I don't want a rabbit for my power animal. What is this? You know, Laplani, what are you like? Is this like the booby prize? You're like the consolation, you know, like you're an animal, and the only animal that would come to me was like my little rabbit, my pet rabbit. And he stayed there, and then I finally started thinking about him, and then I realized, you know, what all the qualities of the rabbit were, and then I went on and went into the rabbit animal, and then actually had a great journey. So sometimes you have to take these things and just work with them. But let me see where we're on time. Some of you need a short break or bathroom break or anything? 4:30. Let's take a short break just in case you need to get a drink of water or go to the bathroom, and then cold shower break. Okay. Ready to go into the next phase. Talk a little bit more and then we'll have another dream session. So, don't feel frustrated. You know, just have these short little times for practice, and you know, everything doesn't happen for you right away. A lifetime of waking and sleeping and falling asleep to practice. The main thing is just have the habit of doing it as frequently as you can. Taking power naps, or every time you do go to sleep, you know, even if you know you're too tired to practice, just say, I will wake up and practice. Give a dream command, I will fall asleep, wake up refreshed, and then practice. Okay? I often practice in the early morning if I've had some sleep or some rest. And it's perfect time. You're refreshed, you're feeling light, but you're not quite ready to get up. So you go back to a light sleep, and you practice your dream practice. If you feel like sitting something in too early or whatever, you know, dream practice is the perfect thing to do at that time. And that your bed, in addition to wearing your dream dress, having a dream in a special dream place, is a dream journal. Again, this just sets up an expectation. And again, it's almost like a dream gesture, in a sense, on setting up an expectation that you will remember your dreams, and you write them down. When you write them down, write down everything in the present tense. Not like, oh, I did this, I did that. Remember, in the dream state, there's no past or future, really. It's just this kind of dreamy mixture. In some near dimension, but not the same one, so that you don't have the same references. So it helps to stay in the present tense when you're recording all of this. Keep you in that state of mind. Okay? Connected to the dream state, which is always immediate and present. And you may begin to notice patterns for dreams. I have not kept a consistent dream journal, but I've written down all of the major ones. And I often have interesting meditations or information come to me in early morning dream practice. Which I think right there. And it often, you know, shows me, often I see things that I've gotten in that state, but then I iterate later consciously and say, oh, this is already came to me now. And now here it is appearing again, and I didn't remember and actually act on it. Juan Lee, he kept a dream journal for decades, and it was interesting to see the patterns and things that he noticed. He said, you know, there are seasonal dreams. You'll start to notice that at certain times of the year, you will have certain dreams. Or that another value that he found was that sometimes when he would write down things and the person would show up and come in, and prophetic dreams, things that didn't happen, he would write them down, and then he would note when they actually did happen. Or if the dream occurred regularly or how many times. You begin to see a pattern, or if it actually did occur, how long was it before it occurred? So you begin to get a sense of the communication. Well, what was the dialogue from the dream body to this body? So that's a value of the dream journal. It starts to give you some objective, you know, feedback that you can look back to. Because the big problem, of course, in doing dream practice and dream research is, you know, like into disappear, and go out and disappear. Your memories about the dream, your memory about your practice. And it's sort of like, you know, UFO sightings. You know, a lot of people see this thing and then it's gone. And they all agree, we saw that thing. This thing was there, this light was there, and then, you know, people come around, well, where's the evidence for it? Where's the proof? It's very much actually evidence for the fact that UFOs may be coming in from the astral plane. The experiences, the similarities are very similar. Okay. And the question is, are they using it as a doorway, or are they coming from some other place, whatever? You could decide and start your own movie or your own TV show based on what you decide. The next level of practice, which is probably beyond most of you right now, but which is important to understand, just have it there as a thought form, as a possibility. What to say is the next level of dream command, of intention in this practice. And that is to go beyond the dream body. So how does that work? You know, what would that feel like? And how would you activate that? It's very simple. You would be in a dreaming state. You would wake up and say, okay, now I know I'm dreaming. And maybe you might engage in the dream for a while, or whatever, you might stay in the state. And then at some point, you would tell your dream body to go to sleep and ask your soul body to remain awake. Soul body or spirit body, whatever language would you
suitable for you. It's really, you're speaking from, again, from the deeper level of the core channel, whether it's the inner eye, the inner observer, and you're saying, okay, now the dreaming mind, I'm giving you permission to go to sleep. The same way that you might induce the physical body, say, body, go to sleep, and my mind, stay awake. It's really the first layer of mind is staying awake of the dream body, the astral mind. And now you just say, okay, that's now become your dream body. It's not just the level of mind in relation to the old body. Now it's your dream body. So you say, okay, dream body, go to bed. And while that one just rips off and release that one, allow the spirit body or the soul, you could say the personal aspect of the spirit body. But I use the term soul body. Stay awake. Assuming you are able to wake up in a dream. You can't do this until you're able to wake up in a dream. Huh? Yeah. The dream is still happening. In the dream state, you say, dream body, lie down, go to sleep. Have a nice rest. Soul body, or next level of mind, whatever you want to call it. Find out when you experience it. It's just another layer of consciousness there in the core channel, in the inner eye, the inner being. Remember what I said, the core consciousness never wakes and never sleeps. It's just there. And these fluctuations are happening between various levels of it. And so you're just getting a subtler wave happening now. Where one happening into a dream phase, going to sleep, another dream phase, and a deeper level of you is staying conscious. And this is the self that can really see beyond time and space and start to connect you more to a causal level with yourself. That's the level from which you could be even make even more powerful changes in your mind. Then from that soul body or that aspect of the spirit body, add an intention to manifest or to help you shift something. Then you're sort of changing, making a decision to shift something on a deep level. It's really the same thing you're doing in meditation. You're trying to just stay awake and let all these other things dissolve and get to the core consciousness. And you're just using the dream practice as a way to do it. First of all, you can fall away now. That's all. Just another really, at this stage, it's really a meditation practice.
Yeah, when I did the research, I how stroking is in
the mirror. No, what is it?
People who had a stroke, they would say their right arm, put their right arm behind the mirror, and then using their left arm is so
because the mirror is right there showing to them. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. So in this case, what we would say is that the dream plane is a mirror of this plane. Okay, the yin mirror, the dark side, and there's the light side. And so, if you make a shift over on the dream side, you'll be mirroring it and making a shift in this side. So I think that mirror analogy is very accurate. That's good. Thank you. Okay. Does anybody have any questions or comments about other ideas? If there might be different levels of this and use the same process. This is just information for most of you right now. so dominant, so strong, and so all present. But you're trying to get other levels operating simultaneously. And that's what, you know, I call lucid living, as lucid dreams. Clear, the more clear you can become. The less resistance you get, the easier you like it. I can give them more. Or wake up at a certain time, say, okay? One other command also. The other command we do, we practice it, which was, I accept and I'm open to receive all experience. That command may be the most important command. Yeah. Ultimately, that's your only guarantee, your only level of true trust, okay, is to accept that command. Okay. Otherwise, there may be some level of manipulation or something else, control involved in there, and you haven't really gotten anything satisfied or accepted the night force the way it is, which is that ultimately you're accepting the fact that there are other unseen forces in your reality, beyond which your little ego mind wants to accept or believe. It wants to believe in the total control, and that everything is under its conscious control. But that is a lie. That is an illusion. Okay, that is not reality. So by using that command, you begin to accept and really embrace that larger reality, and hopefully to experience it in the dream. Once you begin to really embody and feel that to be true, a lot of your fears will go. A lot of fear is based on the fact that there might be some force trying to control me, and it might get a better view, it doesn't kill you, and then you're living your reaction to that fear, which is basically just going to be a negative fantasy. Even though there's a potential there, you're activating it, actually giving power to it, and you can diffuse that power. Our tendency to try and protect the conscious ego from experiencing the dark side of ourselves. And if you can relax yourself to accept this dark side of yourself, is your dream side, and everything you're not seeing in your conscious mind, what's there to be afraid of? Then you start to live and, you know, relax on a whole other level. Otherwise, the problem is that you have a fear, you don't want to be conscious, you suppress it, but it acts as a magnet and starts to draw to you the very thing you're afraid of, just so that you'll process that thing and bring it into consciousness. But that's the long, slow, painful way to bring it into consciousness. Much faster, much less painful to actually experience it in your dream. You're accepting your existence. It's important. So you're really saying, yes, I am going to accept. And if I see that, then I can accept it. Yes, I see it, accept it. It doesn't mean you're saying, I obey every negative thought from myself. That was not your command. That I will obey every nasty creature, every half-formed, you know, astral beast running around there, looking for chi to suck on so I can continue to survive. He didn't say, I'm going to feed them all. He just said, you're going to accept. And seeing if they're there and seeing what they look like will get you over your fear of them. Because if you just witness them and then don't necessarily, they don't have control over you. A lot of times their main power is your fear of them. And then as long as that stays unconscious, they can manipulate you. And this is what drives nations to war and people to do all kinds of irrational, violent things, which are feeding these thought forms. These thought forms feed on anger, on violence, on greed, on, you know, on lust, and just unconscious forces coming through, which you don't understand or control, but you're feeding them by letting them come through. Yeah, that's the idea, is that you're from the core channel. You're accepting everything. So if you're in your core channel, you're in your axis of yourself. And you're not going to shift to their center, because they don't have a true axis. They're not full beings. Okay? They're half beings. They're living off, like vultures, and they're living off energy. They're parasites. They're living off energy. They're basically stuck in the burrow, but they've accumulated power, and they've managed to survive their. And through the continued ignorance of, you know, humanity. There's so much food available, so much unconscious energy, that they can, you know, if you wish, you could get them to infusion. Saying anything. Because then if you're like vulnerable, then you're totally unconscious, and then you don't know whether or not they're coming in and working you over or brainwashing you and training you to do this or that. And what do they say?
Fear-based.
They're fear-based. And they'll set up all kinds of protection things. And I assure you, you know, the best protection is trusting in your core consciousness, in your centeredness. Okay. If you call in some big allies to protect you, some big things, then there's the fear that you're going to lose your big allies, or that, you know, then you have to, like, sustain that thing in order to protect yourself from this other big thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not effortless. And it's conditional upon other beings. The best protection is to start trusting your own being. And relying upon the good sense, the quality, spiritual qualities, the wisdom, the, you know, the balance, whatever, of your inner being. And so that's what you want to feed. Go directly and feed that balance. Sense of balance, acceptance, strength. It's probably, you know, and it's rather than trying to profit up from the periphery, go right to the center of that. That's the most direct route. And anything else is just training wheels. And if you want to create any meditations, I often have people create a golden egg around them. Right? It's not really for protection, it's just to hold in some of the essences and the energies so they don't scatter. And you're transiting and moving in out of each other. So you could set up something like that as you felt. You say, well, act as a, you know, as a filter just so you can focus in on certain things that you want to do or accomplish in this state, so you know, you will not be disturbed. Narrow down your purpose and allowing in only the energies which are working, you know, for you at this time. Accomplish this goal. But the fact is, if you're working on those kinds of things, the other energies don't want to be with you anyway. You're not food for them. You're too too balanced, you're too centered, you're not, you know, you're not unconscious enough. I think it's better not to cultivate the whole psychology of fear. Anybody else? Well, Bardo is just the Tibetan term, okay. And they'll talk about Bardo that you can hang out in for eons in the practice. But you can say, yeah, they're just transition states, but the point is that, you know, there can be side alleys that you go down for. Because there's no time there, you can be there trapped there virtually for eons, okay? Yeah, that's their idea. So. Meher Baba, the Sufi mystic who described it, he said, you're on this train, just like the poor channel, okay? You're moving on this train, in the journey. And there are all these stops. And every stop, the city that you're stopping in, you look out the window and it's more and more wonderful and all these things. And if you get off the train, the station is one thing just to look around a little bit. But if you go and wander around in that city, you might not find your way back to the train. And you may just wander around there for a long, long time before you can realize or remember there was a train that was going on. And his advice is just try and stay on the train. It's playing there. So, one thing to look out the window and kind of say, oh, so that's interesting, you know, and that's, you know, another phase of all this stuff, and see that. And another thing to, you know, get sidetracked and stuck in the plan. And a lot of people, a lot of shamans, I think, a lot of dream practitioners get stuck in that. And just interacting with the astral. And a lot of astral journeyers, a lot of the people do not have necessarily spiritual training. They're just using a technique, and you can shift, you know, it's basically dream practice technique. You can shift into the astral very easily. In Taoist call it yin body. It's not a yang body. It has no power of its own. You're just watching.